Now, will you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the Old Testament prophecy of Micah and chapter 7, the last chapter of the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 18 to 20. The verses are actually on the screen, but I'm going to be preaching from them. If you have them in front of you, it might be of help. Let me just get the page number for you. In the Pew Bibles, it's page 781. 781 in the Pew Bibles. And this is what God said to the people of Israel through Micah. Micah speaking to Israel, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. In these weeks before coming to Easter, I'm preaching a series basically on the cross of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ come to this world? Why did he die on the cross of Calvary? And we're looking at different passages in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, to look at this central truth, this great historic event, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, when you look at the scriptures, particularly when you look at the Old Testament, as it gives us a build-up to the cross of Christ, and you ask this question, why did Jesus come? The most common answer in the Bible is that Jesus came to reveal the character of God to us. That is why Jesus came. And the writer to the Hebrews in particular writes about this in the opening verses of his letter. He says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. He's speaking about the Old Testament times. And he says, in Old Testament times, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He, that is the Son, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So Jesus came to reveal the character of God. And until we know Jesus, we do not know God. We may speculate in our minds as to who God is. And philosophers do this. And people who follow false religions do this. All false religion is speculation. The Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, they're speculating. They're working out. They're guessing who is God. And they arrive at certain answers. And they say, well, God is Allah or God is Krishna. And this is what he's like. But it's all guesswork. It's all speculation. There is no truth in it. Until we meet Jesus, until we get to know him, we cannot know who God is, because Christ came to reveal the character of God. And Christ says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so as we look at Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, we're looking at the saving character of God. And this morning I want to look at this passage, and I want to see three things in this passage about the character of God. We've come to worship God, and you seek to follow God, and you seek to live your life in service to God. Who is this God whom we worship and serve and love? And this morning I want to look at this passage, verses 18 to 20, the saving character of God, and I want to show you three things from it. Three things from this passage about our God. And the first is this, it's there in the passage, our God delights to show mercy. Our God delights to show mercy. This is what it says in this passage. It says in verse 18, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression, the remnant for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights, and some translations say in mercy, and other translations in steadfast love. It doesn't really matter. They basically mean the same thing. It's the kind of Hebrew word that can be translated either. It shows us, or it tells us, that God delights to show mercy. This is one of those passages where God opens his heart. You know, you sometimes have, you know somebody vaguely. Perhaps you meet every so often and you know a little bit about them and you occasionally talk to them. And then occasionally, perhaps on one occasion, you meet this person and they open their heart to you. There's no sort of, I'm not going to reveal who I am because I feel insecure, or I don't like you, or anything like that. We're often like that with people, but occasionally a person will just say, well, look, I'm going to open my heart to you and I'm going to reveal what I really feel, the kind of person I am. Whether you like me or dislike me is up to you, but this is what I'm like. And a person just opens up their heart and you actually get an insight into the kind of people they are. And God does this. When you read the Bible, there are wonderful passages in the Bible, the richest passages in the Bible, where God opens his heart to his people. And God says to his people, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. You have passages in the book of Exodus where God speaks through Moses. And Moses speaks to the people of Israel. And Moses says to the people of Israel, the Lord, full of grace, full of mercy, full of compassion. And you have passages in the prophets. You have passages in Isaiah where God opens his heart. And God reveals how much he loves his people and what his heart is really like and how his heart is full of love and full of mercy and full of compassion. And then you go to the Psalms and again you see the same thing. Yes, there are Psalms where God's people open their hearts to God, but there are Psalms when God opens his heart to his people. We read one of those psalms this morning, and I will be referring to it again. But this is one of the reasons why it's my favorite psalm, is because God opens his heart here. And it talks about how God forgives all our iniquities, heals all our diseases, redeems our lives from the pit. And as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God opening his heart and God saying, this is who I am. And here in Micah, God opens his heart to his people. And God says to his people, I delight to show mercy. My heart is thrilled when I'm showing mercy. My heart is exultant when I'm being kind and generous and compassionate and loving and merciful. Because as I've said this before from this pulpit, this is the essential character of God. This is his heart. He is good. He is kind. He is merciful. He is gracious. There's a verse in Isaiah where God says that judgment is his strange work. Now, it's a very strange kind of verse. You read this verse, it says, God says, judgment is my strange work. What does it mean? And it means it is not what his heart is set upon. You know how some people, you may find this strange, but there are some people who enjoy being nasty. You sometimes get the impression they actually enjoy being awkward and enjoy being difficult and enjoy being not very nice. And God isn't like that. God doesn't enjoy judgment. God doesn't enjoy casting sinners into hell. Now, he will judge. And he will cast sinners into hell. We must never in any way compromise the holiness of God. God is completely holy, completely just. And if a person isn't a believer, and they don't know the Lord Jesus, they will be cast into hell. There's no mercy then. But God's heart is a heart of mercy. In his heart there lives grace, compassion and mercy. Do you know one of the most wonderful things about this passage? It's interesting. I think most of us know Micah chapter 7. And I think when I said Micah chapter 7, I expect most of you said, oh yes, I know that passage. It talks about the forgiveness of sins and how God hurls our sins into the depths of the ocean. But do you know one of the most interesting things about this passage is the context in which it was written. This was written to a people who had deserted God and gone into sin. This passage was written to the worst of sinners. When you look at the history of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, there were times when the nation of Israel were devoted to God. There was a time in the nation of Israel when the nation was, relatively speaking, spiritually healthy. And they sought to follow the Lord, and they sought to be devoted to him. And there were times when the nation had completely departed from God and had gone away from him as far as it is possible. And Micah wrote at one of those times. The time when Micah wrote his prophecy, Israel was about as far away from God as it is possible to be. And Micah comes to them. And in the earlier passages, Micah writes much about judgment. Because they were far from God. And if you are far from God, God will judge you. If you live a life of disobedience, and that's what they did. They had the word of God given to them. And they rejected the word of God and openly lived a life of disobedience. Well, if we live a life of disobedience, we will face the judgment of God. But then Micah finishes with these words. And Micah says, I want you to understand the heart of God. God doesn't enjoy judgment. And God doesn't enjoy disciplining you. And God doesn't enjoy this relationship where you're far from him. Your heart is not devoted to him. And you won't give him worship. But you remain cold, distant, remote from him. There's no enjoyment to God in this. And he brings these verses and says, the heart of God is this. He is full of love and full of compassion to the worst of sinners. We all fall into sin. We do things that are terrible in the sight of God. We must never think at that point, God is angry with me, God is rejecting me, and God is going to judge me. God has compassion upon you. When you fall into sin, God is looking upon you with compassion because you have fallen into sin. And God is looking upon you with pity and with love. And with understanding. And God says to you, I know you've fallen into sin, but I have compassion on you because you are weak. You were tempted and you fell into sin and you gave into some kind of temptation and you fell into that sin. And I have compassion upon you. Because you see, God always wants us to come back to him. This was why these words were written. Micah is saying to the people of Israel, we've gone away from God as far as it is possible. Let's go back to him. He will receive us. He's not addressing us as an angry, judgmental God who enjoys judgment. But he's addressing us as a kind, compassionate Father who wants to have us back to him that we might enjoy a relationship of love with him. God delights to show mercy. Why did Jesus come? Because God's heart is filled with mercy. And he came full of grace and full of mercy and full of compassion. You look at every act of Jesus and it is full of grace and full of mercy. So that's the first thing that we see in this passage, that God delights to show mercy. And then there's a second thing in this passage. They're all there, really. I'm just picking out the most obvious things. And the second thing, obviously, is this, that God forgives our sins. God forgives all our sins. It begins with those words, "Who is a God like you?" And there should be an exclamation mark, because it is in that sort of tense, it's written in the Hebrew. It's a statement put down. Just a few words with dots on it. Who is a God like you? You pardon iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. He does not delight, he does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast mercy. And then in verse 19, he again comes back to this. You will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham. Do you notice how many different words he uses for forgiveness and for sin? Pardoning iniquity. Passing over transgression, not retaining anger, treading iniquities underfoot, casting our sins into the depths of the sea. Do you see? They're all synonyms, they're all words basically meaning the same thing, but he uses different words. He says pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression and not retaining anger. And treading our iniquities underfoot and casting our sins into the sea. Now, why all these words? There are commentators who try and find differences. Is there a difference between pardoning and passing over and forgiving and treading underfoot? I don't think there are differences. I think this is God speaking to a people filled with sin and showing them just how great his forgiveness is. What a great offer this is. You know how sometimes you're speaking to somebody and you want to get your point across. You're absolutely zealous. I must get this point across to you. You must grasp this point. And so you become repetitive. You say the same thing using different words. And if you're writing an email, you pull out a thesaurus and you say, I must say it again in a different way and in a different way and in a different way. And then I must illustrate it. I must perhaps bring out an illustration from their experience so that I've underlined it all so that they don't miss the point. And that's what Micah is doing here. Micah uses all these different words for forgiveness, pardoning and passing over. And not retaining, and treading underfoot, and casting into the sea. You see, all these different phrases, and they all basically mean the same thing. God forgives our sins. This is the greatest blessing it is possible for a human being to know. That our sins have been forgiven. That we are right with God. That God has accepted us for the sake of Jesus. That Jesus on the cross of Calvary has put an end to our sins. He has taken our sins upon himself and has paid the penalty and cleared the debt. And we know that our sins have been forgiven. A clear conscience before God is the greatest gift it is possible to have. I have sat with people on their deathbed and they are Christians. And most of the time, it has been a wonderful experience. It probably has had a greater influence upon me than any other experience. Sitting next to a person as they're passing from time into eternity. And they're Christians. And it really has been wonderful. Because they've died in faith. And they've died full of joy. And they've died full of knowledge that they're going to be with the Savior. I didn't know this, but when my daughter gave testimony last Sunday before her baptism, she mentioned her mother's death and what a great influence her mother's death had on her. and how that had brought her to an assurance. She was already saved, but it brought her into this assurance that God is really a forgiving God, because her mother died so well. And I've died and I've sat with people who are unbelievers as they have died. And those occasions actually stick in my mind more than any other. And occasionally there has been a person who has died, and I've sat with them and I've read the scriptures and I've pleaded with them. You must turn to Jesus. It is never too late. Now, I don't know if they have or not, because most of them go into a coma and then they die. But I do know right up to the conscious moment when they're still conscious, there is no joy, there is no security, there is no knowledge of forgiveness. And they have actually slipped into a coma in a dreadful condition. And I plead with you this morning, if you're not sure, make sure. Don't just say to yourself, well, I was born in a Christian home. Don't just say to yourself, well, I made a decision for Jesus. Don't just say to yourself, well, I attend church and I say my prayers and I read my Bible. Do you know, none of these things will save you. Christ saves. Jesus Christ is the Savior whom God has sent. And those who have repented of their sins, those who have turned from their sins and have resolved to keep turning from their sins. It is one of the marks of a Christian that he or she hates their sins and is daily making a great effort to turn from sin. And if you have repented and turned from your sin and you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've said to him, you alone can save me and my faith is in you, then you are saved. But if you're trusting in other things and you're saying to yourself, but I'm not a bad person and I do good things and I go to church. You see what you're doing? You're trusting in other things. And I say this to you because we're all facing death. I'm not just thinking of coronavirus. I'm just thinking about life in general. And you know, the statistics for death are very impressive. One person out of one dies. And we're all facing death. And it is a terrible thing. And I say this to you with total sincerity. It is a terrible thing to approach death in an unsaved condition. It is a terrible thing to approach death and you're just not sure, when you can be sure, because the Bible says we know. You read the first letter of John, and 40 times John says, we know that we are the children of God. We know that we belong to Him. It is possible to be sure. Don't be proud. And don't say to yourself, well, I can't now start talking to people about this. I mean, I've been professing Christian for so many years. Make sure of it. Because it is such a wonderful gift that God gives to us through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. And Micah is so keen for them to know. He uses all these different phrases, different words, so that they grasp it. There is such a thing as forgiveness, and our God forgives all our sins. So God delights to show mercy. God forgives us all our sins. And then the third thing in this passage, God removes our sins from His memory. I thought long and hard before I put down that third point, because technically speaking, it isn't true. God never forgets anything. God isn't forgetful. So technically speaking, it isn't true that God has forgotten our sins. What I'm trying to say, what the passage is saying, is that God does not deal with us according to our sins once we have been forgiven. That's the point he's making. God doesn't keep a record of our sins and then sometime later pulls out that record and says, now on the 12th of December last year you did this, and 2nd of January you did this, and 4th of February you did this, and so on. God does not do that. You see what he says in this passage in verse 19. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. That's a Hebrew phrase meaning he will reduce it to dust and it will get blown away. That's how that phrase is used in the Old Testament, this idea of crushing something into dust, and then it's chaff, it gets blown away. So he will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will reduce all our iniquities to dust, and it will go off. And then just to make sure they've got it, he uses another illustration, a different way of saying it. And he says, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. In the Hebrew language, there is a word meaning to cast you hold something and then you release it and it falls. And there's another Hebrew word meaning to throw something with great force. And that is the word that is used here. If you're a Christian here today, God has taken all your sins, all of them. The sins of the past, the sins you're committing even today, and the sins of the future. God has taken all your sins, and he has gone to the deepest ocean, and with divine strength, he has hurled your sins into the bottom of the sea. Amen. And he has put a sign, no fishing. So you don't go dredging up your sin and feeling guilty for your sins. They are gone. If you're a Christian today, your sins are forgiven and your sins are forgotten. That's what we read in Psalm 103, those lovely verses about how God deals with us. And this is what David says in Psalm 103. He says, he does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. He doesn't do that. If you're facing trials in your life, it's not because God is dealing with you according to your sins. He doesn't do that. That's not the kind of God he is. Your sins are gone. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. They are in his memory, but he does not deal with us. He does not bring them up. One of the most common questions a pastor faces, Pastor, when I die and I stand before God in judgment, will he pull out a list of all my sins and will he deal with me according to my sins on the day of judgment? My answer is always the same. If you are not a Christian, then yes. But if you are a Christian, then no. He won't deal with you according to your sins. God isn't waiting there with a list of all your sins. And when you appear before him, and well, yes, you are a Christian, yes, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, but I must just tell you I was disappointed. And I must just tell you that there were things about you that really did, that time when you lost your temper, and that time when you did this, well, you know, God is not like that. That is not the kind of character he is. He is full of mercy, full of compassion, full of grace. And once he says, you are forgiven, you are forgiven. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not pull out a list of sins. He's not like the person who says to you, I forgive you. And then 5 years later, do you remember 5 years ago you did that? And you know they haven't really forgiven you because they've kept a memory of what you did. Do you know that's an ungodly thing to do? If you're a Christian here, somebody has offended you and they've asked you for forgiveness and you have forgiven them. It is unbiblical. In fact, it is ungodly to then bring up that sin later and to deal with them according to their sin. That is wrong. God doesn't do it. When God says, I forgive, God forgives. And he only deals with us in love and mercy and compassion and grace. Even our trials are works of love and mercy and compassion and grace. We may not be able to see that today. When we reach heaven, we will see how our trials helped us in our Christian lives to mature. But they are acts of love and mercy and grace and compassion. God does not keep a record of sin. So Christ came to reveal the character of God. And Micah brings this out. God delight to show mercy. And God forgives us all our sins. And God forgets our sins and does not deal with us according to our sins. Praise God for his mercy.